All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, October 30th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have some NBA, NHL, and NFL action on this Thursday, some Thursday night football, four NBA games. I'm not sure how many NHL games we have, but I'm sure we have some NHL on tap. So for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. And we will start to answer some questions. So, got some questions in Discord. We will start there. First question of the day: how can I fill my NBA lineups and get less similar lineups as compared to the field I am filling using portfolio setup? Also, how can I get less similar lineups when late swapping? Okay. So let's just talk about like your available fill methods here and what you can use each one for to kind of accomplish different things. Like, I'm going to bring in an entry file. I think I downloaded it. All right. And then I'm going to build just like 500 lineups. And we're going to kick that off. So let's let these lineups run. All right, let's set the sim run. Sim is finished. Let's run the diversifier. All right, cool. So everything ran. Want to move a couple things around here. And we'll open this up a little bit. All right, cool. So this is our starting point, right? This is where we're at with our exposures and everything like that. Now, when we talk about, you know, compared to the field, right? Compared to the field, what does that mean for those that don't understand? It is basically what we expect the field to do is what is the player's ownership, right? When you click into a lineup and you see 26% next to a player, right? That means that 26% of lineups in your contest have that player. We call that the player's ownership. Now, the leverage here will describe to you how close / how far away you are from what we expect the field to do, right? Now, ownership's never going to be perfect, kind of for this reason, right? Like, hey, we're expecting Hartenstein to be 38%. Well, if you have 50%, all of a sudden his ownership changes, right, in the contest because you're not playing him at that exact rate, right? People come in under, people come in over, and it kind of nets out somewhere in between, hopefully close to what we project here. Now, your leverage is going to be your best indicator of how close or far away you are. Portfolio, in my opinion, does a pretty good job of taking some stands, but not being too aggressive, right? If you want to take bigger stands, what I would first do is just go to Uniques One and use ROI. ROI is going to be very, very aggressive. And here we can see right away, right? Our top leverage was like 11%. Now our top leverage is 46%, right? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players above the previous 11% leverage. And now we can see that we're much more concentrated. And maybe you like this. Or maybe you like all of this except for Hartenstein. Maybe he's just like a little too high. Okay. Well, then you use ROI. You set one max exposure. And that's it, right? Now you've gotten what you wanted, bigger stands, further away from the field. And now you're being a little bit more aggressive. So if you're interested in not playing so close to the field and being like what we call like flat, and you want to be more leveraged, I would switch to Unique's One ROI. And then same thing for late swap as well. All right. Next question. What are typical levers to pull to optimize lineups once you run the first build and sim? Yeah. So the big things, right, is when we recommend kind of like a hands-off approach before building lineups, right? Because that has a big effect on the inputs that go into the sim. And so therefore the lineups that are generated, we say like, hey, let our models and stuff do a lot of the heavy lifting up front. In after the lineups are built in this step that we're actually talking about, this is where you add your own, you know, flavor, your own takes, your own opinions, right? And the biggest levers that you're going to want to pull, in my opinion, are usually min and max exposures. Hey, I like this player. I want more of them, right? So you put a minimum. Or, hey, I think this player is too highly exposed. I don't want this much of them, right? You set up a max exposure. These are like really common things that I would be doing. We call it dialing it in, right? Now, if you get to a point where you're dialing things in, right? And maybe you run into some type of error, right? You're going to be using portfolio by default. Well, portfolio isn't great at handling a lot of min and max exposures here. If I were to like set a bunch, if you run into a situation, and maybe I could just show what this would look like. Maybe AJ Mitchell, I could probably set like 100% to AJ. And I bet we could run into this. Oh, it was actually that I clicked too fast. All right. So here, right. I've set up a minimum exposure to AJ Mitchell. I get these exclamation points, right? Saying, hey, I can't meet this, right? Well, the portfolio diversity isn't as strong as Unique's One is when it comes to meeting exposures. So the first thing I would do is if you run into a situation, you're dialing things in and you have trouble meeting your exposures, is switch from portfolio to Unique's One. Here, those yellow boxes with exclamation points go away. And now it is meeting my exposure request. Okay. So that's the first thing I would do. If you do that and you're still having trouble, right? What we recommend is finish dialing things in as much as you like, all your min and max exposures, set them up. Then use the rebuild lineups button. What this does is it takes your opinions into account on the next lineup run. So one, you got to see what kind of the sim thought on its own, right? Get some of the sims like default opinions. You work in yours and then you run a new build that'll basically blend the two and be like, okay, hey, I'm going to take your stuff into account. We're going to make sure that all 500 lineups have AJ Mitchell to give you more optionality as well as any other things that you wanted. And then you're going to get, you're going to have less issues meeting your exposures on the next set of lineups that are generated. And then I would still stick with Unique's One in that scenario. So those are like the big things that we would recommend touching. If you're going to touch anything, touch those. All right. Next question. Are there sport or specific best practices, certain stack sizes, player min or max exposures, high ceiling, 99th percentile outcomes, etc.? Okay. So there are things that vary sport to sport. Now, we capture that really well with our default sliders, okay? The sliders are going to change based on within a sport, how many games are on the slate, and then between sports drastically, right? So like an example is like, okay, I'm on the NBA slate, 0-7 sliders, right? If I switch over to NHL, there's a big 11-game slate today. Going go over to a build. We go to the settings. The sliders are 6.8, right? So they've jumped between sports from 0.7 to 6.8. Well, what does this mean? We've basically backtested slates of varying sizes across various sports and determined which lineups create the best high upside lineups and the lineups that have the highest on an 11-game NHL slate. Correlation is extremely important, but on a 4-game NBA slate, correlation is not important, and you don't need to. The correlation slider amplifies correlations, right? So, like, if I click on any skater, right, for instance, there's two correlations. There's the play-by-play correlation, which is like the natural correlation that the players have in the sim. And then the correlation slider, what it does is it amplifies it. It multiplies it. Think of it that way, where it will make it more likely that correlated players end up in the same lineup together, and it'll drive away players who have a negative correlation. So this is why if I just run a default build for hockey, I'm going to get stacks. I'm going to get 4 threes. I'm going to get 5 stacks, 6 stacks, right? I'm going to get these big stacks without having to set any rules. So like getting back to the question, right? There are sport or mostly like sport specific best practices, but we're taking those into account for you so you don't have to. We know that you should go for big stacks in NHL, in MLB, and then we know you should stay away from big stacks in sports like NBA. So all that's already baked in. So nothing specific you need to worry about in that regard. All right, next question. Can you explain in more detail how aggregate metrics work and how they can improve the quality of my pool and lineups? Okay, so the aggregate metrics are what you see over here within a group, right? There are these statistics. There is an aggregate metrics plus icon that allows you to control which metrics you're viewing. You can add or erase metrics. Now, these are the three that I think work the best. I would do, like, if I was on starter, I would do projection and saber score. If I was on ultimate, I do projection and ROI. Now, they can't make your lineups better. Okay. What aggregate metrics do, they summarize all of your lineups as a whole. So for instance, I have 20 lineups here. My average ROI is 308. This is the number that if I added up each lineup's individual ROI and then found the mean, that's what the 308 is. So what it's telling you is like, hey, your lineup set, big picture, right? In this contest, looking at it like on a contest level, your average ROI is about 308. What this number is good for, in my opinion, is if you make adjustments, it will tell you what SaberSim thinks the impacts of those adjustments are. So here, right, I set 100% minimum exposure to AJ Mitchell. After I did that, my ROI was 308. If I erase that and go back to my default here, my average ROI was 555. So what this does is it tells you, okay, you can work in your opinions and different things like that, but this is the impact that we think it's having on your lineup set. So it's a good opportunity to make adjustments and then see what SaberSim thinks it is doing to your lineups. Now, the caveat is like basically any adjustment you make is going to bring these numbers down. So it is okay to bring them down. But I think that the aggregate metrics give you a good data point to say, hey, have I gone too far? Have I made too many adjustments to the point where it is negatively impacting my lineups? Now, you know, how far you want to go is a little subjective. You know, if I were starting with like this ROI, I would be okay with it going down 10 to 20%. So like 50. I'd be okay going to like a 305 projection. But if my projection is dropping 5 points, 8 points, you know, if I'm going from 308 to 303, 308 to 300, I might want to rethink some of the adjustments I'm making because it is driving my projection, in my opinion, too far down, right? Once you get over 20%, 30%, I think that those are really good points to like stop, analyze what you're doing, and decide if you want to keep making adjustments. So they're just descriptive of the lineups that you're viewing, and I think they are valuable though. All right, next question. I tried to cap Westbrook to 45% max yesterday, but when I reran the sim, it reverted back to 85. Had to skip that late swap until that game started. Any advice on how to cap exposures? Yeah, so we've been talking about this a little bit as a team. Late swap is not as good as meeting exposures as like a pre-slate build is. So like right now I can get the exposures I want a lot better. Late swap gets really tricky with the late swap logic and stuff like that, with locking in players who have started, with lineup eligibility, with remaining salary. What I would do is if you run a late swap and you see that you have a cap on and you're still getting a lot of exposure, I would lower the player's projection and rebuild. So like what I would have done is, okay, I'm going to lower Westbrook 2 fantasy points. I'm going to rebuild my swaps. Projection really drives exposure. So if you are hindering his projection, you are just naturally going to get less of him. So it is a way of like, if your max exposure isn't working great, lowering the projection and rebuilding would for sure be my next step. I assume you set the max exposure and hit apply, you don't need to rebuild. So in the case I recommended, you do like here, I'd do Hartenstein down 2 points. I would click apply and then I would click rebuild. And if you just do that little sequence, it should help. All right. Just saw you explain about the portfolio plus and uniques one under diversity tab. I got like 15 contests. That means I have to change it on every contest for uniques one. What you can do is you can set up a template to do this for you. So like what I would do is I would just recreate. I would recreate a template, or I would just build one and I would just say, hey, start over. Go to your template menu, click add new, leave all this alone, leave contest selected, leave each selected, go down to diversity, change it to uniques one, and then change this to target ROI. And then what you can do is you can rename this, and I'm going to call it ROI sorting, click save. Now, when I select this template, it's going to default all of my groups to uniques one ROI, so you don't have to manually do it. So this will be like your uniques one sorting, and then you can still have your portfolio sorting above. So I would just do that instead. That should be a lot faster. All right. Looking through questions here, I think we are all caught up with questions in office hours and YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.